Now, I want to just have a word here from Psalm 145. I'm going to give you 10 verses from that psalm. A psalm of praise. Psalm 145 is on page 491 in your church Bibles, 491. A psalm of praise of David. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he's made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. This is the word of God. Yeah, this is a psalm of praise. That's such an interesting statement there at the beginning of chapter 145, because the phrase, a song of praise, this is the only song that's actually labeled a song of praise, which is a little ironic because the entire book is a book of praises. But David wants us to know, no, I mean it. I mean this one. I mean, this is kind of the praise of praise. That's what this is. This is a song that says, wow. Wow. And it's more than just a song of wow. This is our future in the now. So this is a song of a promised vision that God is remaking this world. A world of exaltation. A world of adoration. A world of magnification to God the King. This psalm is an earthly taste of heaven's joy. Well, it's an appetizer of the eternal banquet that we're going to enjoy with God our King. So let me throw out the big idea to you here. Here it is. Our God is the King. Press on. Praise on. Pass on. There it is. Our God is a King. Press on, praise on, pass on. I think I'll just have us repeat that for the sake of my two sons who are now out of my will. Now it's all going to the grandkids now. Huh? Here it is. Say it with me. Our God is the King. Say that. Our God is the King. Here we go. Press on. Press on. Praise on. Pass on. Pass on. Our God is the King. Our God is the King. Press on. Praise on. Pass on. Yeah, that's what this says. It's written by David, Israel's King, who knows creation's King. See, so David can be the little king because he worships the big king. So you don't miss that. You got a king telling us who the capital K king is. And David knows who he is because he knows who God is. And that's why David can cry out in verse 2, every day, I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Every day. That means every good day, every bad day, every rainy day, every sunny day, every healthy day, every sick day, every day in autumn's beauty,
Every day in February's gray. Every day. He is the God of every day. He is sovereign over every day. There's nothing that happens to your life that has not first gone through God. And so if it gets to your life, it's because it's gotten through God. And even though we may not understand it or like it, we can accept it because we know that God has a purpose and plan in it. And that gives us hope to press on, which means to not quit, to never give up. Never give up. To persevere and endure. We're here because Christians who went before us in this place, who didn't see our faces and didn't know our names, they pressed on. And 50 years from now, Lord willing, when this church praises God for 100 years, I pray for some 60-something-year-olds who recall as a child singing and dancing on this stage, celebrating God and praising Him. I dream about that. They have pressed on. They have pressed on to praise on. Praise on. So Psalm 145, it's what you call an acrostic psalm. Every verse is a successive letter to the Hebrew alphabet. So David is like, he's just traveling through the alphabet as if to say from the first letter to the last letter, from the A to the Z. He considers each sound of each letter that constructs each word of praise. God is the king, so I press on to praise on. And it's like David is straining to find enough words to say all that God is. God is exalting and worshiping and praising and lauding and murmuring and talking and proclaiming and pouring forth. That's all in that psalm there. All of those verbs are in the psalm. Gushing and confessing and resounding and speaking. Verse 3 says that God's greatness is unsearchable. Unsearchable. Some of your translations say unfathomable, meaning depths that have yet to be discovered. Go ahead, try to hit bottom to God's greatness. Go ahead. Reminds me of the preacher who hung out in children's Sunday school class one Sunday and saw little Susie there at the table drawing with her crayon. The preacher said to Susie, "What are you drawing?" She said, a picture of God. And the preacher said, "Well, sweetheart, no one knows what God looks like." Little Susie says, "They will when I get done." She was trying. And I hope she never stops trying. David's trying. He paints a portrait about God's mighty acts, His glorious acts, His wondrous acts, His awesome acts, His reign, His rule, His goodness, His grace, His compassion, His slowness to anger, His love, His commitment, His trustworthiness. David says that God upholds and lifts up and gives openly. God is near. He's near us. He's near us. He hears. He delivers. He watches. He destroys. God's attributes are unfathomable. And the most common word we see in this psalm, you can look it up later and count the 18 times. All. All. We worship the God of all, which means we gather in this place and there's not enough music and not enough lyrics and not enough of the arts and not enough dancing and not enough prayers. There's not enough to say all there is to say, because who can do that? So we're just going to have to keep trying. We keep praising until we're all praised out, but that's yet to happen. So we come back, and the more we do, the closer we get, and the closer we get, the more we learn how far we have to go. And it's because God's greatness is unfathomable. Unfathomable. So there was a preacher named Augustine 1,600 years ago. He preached to his church this very chapter. Here's what he said. His greatness is without end. So let thy praise be without end. God is king. Our God is King. Press on, praise on, pass on. Yeah, I didn't say pass out now. Look, keep up here. Pass on, praise on, press on, pass on. Verse 4, that's verse 4. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Oh, see, that chapter tells us why we exist as a church. We're here to be blown away by the glory of God and then to pass that blown awayness to the next generation. See, isn't that why you're here? You saw the couple that passed on God's blown awayness to my life, David and Thelma. Thank you for that. Wow. And there's no better inheritance to pass on to our children than to have them astounded and astonished and overwhelmed at the glory of God. Whether it's a worship service or a children's lesson or small group or preaching or teaching or singing or playing or painting or drawing or hiking or making music, God wants us to pass on the life-changing news of His love in Jesus Christ for all of His glory. And the greatest legacy that we can pass on to our children and grandchildren is a living hope in Jesus Christ. And to teach them verse 16, you satisfy the desires of every living thing. God, you satisfy the desires. No one else and nothing else satisfies the desire, but you do, God. You. Well, what is this psalm saying? God's in charge. Press on. Press on to praise on and then pass it on. See, He's King. That's what this psalm is saying. What's this psalm doing? It's inviting you. It's inviting you to belong. It's inviting you to endure. It's inviting you to pass on to the next generation the good that God has done. May we do that, church. May we do that. While I was out in the foyer, some of you noticed my shirt. It's got some embroidery on it. We thought we'd step up our sartorial style for the 50th, so Crystal got me this really snazzy shirt. I like it. I said, I'm going to wear it this Sunday. I'm going to take it to the dry cleaners first because I want it pressed. So I took it to the dry cleaners along with my other shirts, dropped them off Thursday, and I even told the attendant there, I said, now, this embroidery thing is going to be okay with all of that dry cleaning stuff. Oh, yeah, it'll be fine. Well, I picked up my order on Friday, and as the employee was kind of putting the batch of clothes in my car, I said, now, is it all there? Thinking of the shirt. Yeah, it's all there. I said, great, thank you. I didn't think about it anymore. That was Friday. In fact, the clothes just stayed in my car all day Saturday, and then Saturday night, brought them into the house, and then last night, I set my clothes out. I went to go get my shirt. I couldn't find it. I could not find my shirt. I mean, it was not in the batch. I'm sure I saw it when I picked it up. I don't know how many times I scoured that closet looking for a shirt that was never there in the first place. That ever happened to you? Happens to me a lot. And then I realized, where's my shirt? We're going to have to cancel this service. Where is my shirt? And then I felt bad because it's a first world problem, right? So I kind of felt bad, but I really wanted to wear that shirt. So before I went to bed at 10:30, I wanted to go to bed at 10, but I was looking a half hour for a shirt that was never there. And then I was all riled up, and I just ask her. She'll tell you. This just last night. So I went online and I looked up the cleaners site, and then I saw a section that said, "Need to contact us?" And so I got on those web messaging things. Here's who I am. Here's what happened. Here's what's happening. I would really like to wear that shirt. I know it's a first world problem. I know it, and I feel bad about it, but I just would like that. I would just like that. Here's my number, and thank you. Push send. And then I immediately get a message back that says, "We will be looking at your email the next business day." Well, that's Monday. Oh, man. Oh, okay. All right. I'm going to read Psalm 145 and then go to sleep. So I did. And then woke up 6 hours ago, 5:30. And I woke up, this is the day that the Lord has made. Then I remembered I didn't have that shirt. Okay. We will rejoice and be glad. I'm going to get through this. I got to get up. I got to get up. I got to get up. So I got up and took a shower. I stepped out of the shower, and the minute I stepped out of the shower, at 5:54 a.m., my phone rings. "Mr. Boldinghouse, this is Tony from the cleaners. I have your shirt." You have my shirt. Thank you. I can come and get it right now? He said, "Oh no, I'm on Daniel Street. I just want to find the right house. I'll leave it at the door." I said, "Oh no, I want to say thank you to you face to face. I want to do that." So I opened the door to get the shirt, and I realized right then I just stepped out of the shower. I just had a towel on. And what a horrifying sight that must have been for Tony. I wish I were making this up. This happened. Ask her. And she's saying, "Why are you telling them this right now? I don't know." I said, "Thank you." And wow. God, you did not have to do that. And I know that there are many here today pleading with God for situations more serious than a shirt. I know that. But I just wanted to tell you about a gift that I received that I did not deserve. Unconditional acceptance to an undeserving person by an unobligated giver. Wow. So listen, wherever you are today, God is King. Press on, praise on, pass on. We worship the God who sent his Son, and his name has a better name, Jesus. And he delivered something better than a starched navy shirt. He has given us pure, clean, white robes washed in his purifying blood. And he's prepared for us not just a meal on church grounds, but a banquet feast for all eternity. It may be Friday, but I want to tell you, Sunday's coming. Church family, press on, praise on, pass on. We're going to remember our King now this morning in communion. And if you have the emblems with you today, I invite you to join me as we thank God for who He is and what He's done, and specifically through His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. What I'd like to do now is to have us pray the Lord's Prayer together as a church family. And then we're going to share in communion. We're going to hear a beautiful song, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Mm. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.